Mizmor, which means song in Hebrew. Psalm 25. I'm going to share verses 7 through 14 with you because they're relevant when compared against Shaul's, Paul's, angry diatribe against Yahweh, his word, and especially his Torah. It begins, Yahweh, the Most High, is good, moral, perfect, beautiful, pleasing, joyful, cheerful, happy, favorable, generous. Tob is the Hebrew word. And always right, completely correct, and consistently straightforward. Therefore, he is the source of teaching and instruction, and he guides and directs sinners along the way. The Hebrew word for source of teaching and instruction, providing guidance and direction, is Yara. Yahweh, when he first introduces the concept of his Torah, tells us that Torah is based on the verb Yara, to teach, to instruct, to provide a source of guidance and direction. It's interesting here that, and we will continue with this statement here in a moment, but that the Torah guidance, its Yara, was for sinners, Hata, that were on the way. The Torah's guidance is of no value unless you are on the way that is provided in the Torah, which is to participate in the covenant and then to answer Yahweh's invitations to meet with him 7 times a year. That is the way. And the Torah is for those of us who are flawed individuals that have elected to answer his invitation and walk along this path. And his teaching, his Yara, instructions and guidance, provides directions for us so that we make progress and grow and find the desired result. He enables the way of unpretentious and sincere individuals who respond and actively engage, anah, really interesting Hebrew term, with this means to exercise good judgment and to achieve justice by resolving disputes, baha mishpat, another telling term. He provides the information to teach, lamad, those who respond to his call and act upon, anah, his way, derek. So many interesting words here. Derek and darak, written very similarly, vocalized differently. One is a verb speaking of enabling the way. The other is a noun speaking of the way. And what's interesting here is that Yahweh enables the way. The way to him is the covenant, and he has provided 5 terms and conditions that enable us to participate in it, and he has promised 5 benefits for those who are adopted into his family. He enabled it. He offered it to Abraham and through Abraham by way of documented in his Torah to all of us. But it is for the unpretentious and sincere who respond. If you are unwilling to respond, if you're unwilling to be unpretentious, use the double negative, it's not going to help. If you're not going to respond, don't bother. And most people who are political and religious won't respond. Most people who are religious and political are pretentious. And so this way that Yahweh has provided for flawed sinners, for individuals like you and me, to, through his guidance and teaching and instruction, to engage with him, is only valid for those who will go where the words lead. The words are provided in the Torah. If you're willing to go where those words lead, you'll find God. But pretentious individuals don't do that. If you're unwilling to respond to Yahweh's invitation, anah, you aren't going to find him. The covenant is provided to those who, under the auspices of free will, exercising discretion, have the opportunity to engage and accept the terms and conditions of the covenant. You have the opportunity to answer Yahweh's invitation. Now, in this particular case, we're being told, in fact, this is really very common throughout the Torah and the prophets, even the Psalms. We're told that the way that Yahweh enabled to him is associated with mishpat. Mishpat is the means not only to exercise good judgment, which obviously is based on knowledge and teaching and direction, because it's good judgment, the ability to determine what is truthful and reliable. But also the mishpat speak of achieving justice and resolving disputes. Our sin, our flaws, particularly our affinity for religion and politics and militarism and patriotism and these sort of things, separate us from God. And therefore, God has come up with a plan whereby if we respond to and if we're open to and receptive to his teaching and we exercise good judgment, then he has a means that he has enabled to resolve these disputes and make us perfect in his eyes. Mishpat. And he provides the information to teach Lamad those who respond to his call and act upon his way. The only ones who benefit are those who respond to his invitation to meet with him. These seven Moed Mikre meetings to be called out and gather together and be welcomed unto God are invitations. They do you no good if you don't answer them. And if you're a Christian and you believe that the Torah has been annulled, if you think that Passover and unleavened bread and firstborn children, if you think that God has a holiday called Pentecost, then they're not going to do you any good unless you answer them. And if you think they're Jewish holidays, then you will never know God. You'll never be engaged in a relationship with him. You'll never be saved. They are the way that he enabled. He himself enabled Pesach by allowing himself to serve as the Passover lamb. He himself enabled matzah, removing sin from us, resolving the disputes by his soul going to Sheol and paying the penalty for our sins. He enabled this way. He then became the firstborn child on Bukurim and enabled us to receive his spirit and to understand his Torah on Shavuot, the promise of seven. This is what he's providing. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to listen to him? Are you willing to respond? Will you go where the words lead? Are you presumptuous? Are you hard-headed? Are you religious? In which case, they don't apply to you. All the mannerisms and conduct of Yahweh are merciful and beyond reproach, Chesed. They are trustworthy and reliable, Emeth, for those who are preserved by his family-oriented covenant relationship, Berith, and his enduring witness and restoring testimony, Edah. There is no way possible to differentiate Yahweh's Edah, which is enduring witness and restoring testimony, from his Berith covenant relationship. There's only one place that you will find information pertaining to the family-oriented covenant, the Berith, and that is in his Edah, his enduring witness and restoring testimony. And Yahweh's Edah is comprised of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, full stop. That's it. That's the word of God, the testimony of God. And so if you're not considering and responding to Yahweh's witness, his restoring testimony, you are estranged from the covenant. And if you're estranged from the covenant, you have no relationship with God. You aren't saved by God. In this statement, too, we find that Yahweh and his testimony are the same. Yahweh's conduct and his testimony mannerisms and conduct are merciful and beyond reproach, and his enduring witness is the means to the restoring relationship. Yahweh and his word are presented here as if they are one, because they are inseparable. We're also told here that Yahweh's testimony, in addition to being enduring and restoring, is trustworthy and reliable. It's emet. For something to be trustworthy, it can't be annulled and changed. You know, if you were to rely on the testimony that says if you get in this boat, it has been designed to float and hold X amount of weight. And if that testimony is true, so long as the boat is maintained, it will do exactly what it says. But if the testimony is not reliable and you get in that boat, and because it's either swamped or that it isn't, it's top heavy and it topples over. If somebody says, but over there, you know, 100 yards further up, I've got a new boat. And yes, by the same architect, but you can trust me on that new boat, even though I lied to you about the old boat. Why would you trust the second boat if you lost everything you had in the first one? Because it wasn't truthful, it wasn't reliable. Why would you then trust the God of the second boat, the designer of that second plan? And that's really what Christianity is claiming. They're saying that the plan that was the Torah is a failed vessel, that it's incapable of saving you. It won't carry the load, improperly designed. And that second boat up there, which we're not going to talk about any of the plans, we're not going to give you any information about who designed it or how it was designed or what its specifications are. You just to believe that it will perform as we have promised, well, you'd have to be a moron to buy into such a religion. And yet, that is the design of that second boat called the Christian New Testament. We'll continue with this statement in the 25th Mizmor or Psalm after the break. As a result of your name, Yahweh, you will choose to genuinely and completely forgive my sin, which is great. As a result of your name. Name. How many Pauline Christians know Yahweh's name?
Zero.
How many Muslims know Yahweh's name?
Zero.
Yeah. As a result of your name, you will genuinely and completely forgive my sin. Which would be, if you don't know his name, why would you expect him to forgive?
Well, if you don't know his name, why would he know yours?
Right.
Why would he care?
Why would he care? How is he going to forgive you if you don't even know who he is? Why would you expect him to forgive you? Now, Yahweh's name is rather important. First of all, he tells us, just as he tells us that Torah is based on the verb yara, to teach, to guide, he tells us that his name, Yahweh, is based upon the Hebrew verb haya. And haya means to exist. So if you want to continually exist, if you want to know the God who actually exists, if you want to exist with him, haya, you need to know his name. His name, Yahweh, is based on the verb haya. As a matter of fact, three of the four letters in Yahweh's name are in the verb haya. And so he's telling you that his name is really important because it means, A, he exists, that you can actually get to know the God who exists, and that you can exist with him if you know his name. The name means exist. Now, the other thing that's important is the only letter added to the name Yahweh is the Hebrew waw, which speaks of addition. of things being added, of things being brought together. It's the most common letter in the Hebrew alphabet because it is part of the conjunction and. And in Hebrew, you know that you're starting and you've concluded one sentence and you're starting a new one because the wa is used to connect thoughts, but to have a beginning of a new sentence. And just as you link ideas together with the and, Yahweh is saying by the wa in his name that it's you and he, father and son, together. And as a result, increasing and growing together. So that's the nature of his name. And then if you look at the letters that comprise his name, you learn so much more about why he would say, as a result of your name, Yahweh. The first letter of Yahweh's name tells us so much about God and what he's trying to do. Rather than the closed fist of a Lord, or the palm of the Lord that is pushing people away and down. No, Yahweh's first letter of his name, the Yod, which is the Hebrew word for hand, is the upper arm reaching down, the forearm reaching out with an open hand for us to grab hold of, just as a father would lift his children. And then you have two letters that are repeated, the hey. The hey in Hebrew means behold, notice, pay attention. The two people are standing up, reaching up, and looking up to God. Are you going to respond to him? You know, your father can hold out his hand, but unless you grab it and respond, it won't do you any good. It won't lift you up unless you reach out and grab hold of it. The two people in Yahweh's name could be representing Adam and Chala, could be representing Abraham and Sarah, the mother and father of the covenant. I think they are. And they're reaching up to Yahweh to grasp his hand. Which means now, with the two people reaching up and grabbing hold of Yahweh's hand as mother and father, the first to participate in the covenant, you actually have five hands in Yahweh's name. And wouldn't you know it, there's five conditions to participate in the covenant. And not so coincidentally, there are five benefits of the covenant. And just like our hand, they're arranged with an opposable thumb and four fingers. The unique one amongst the five conditions for participating in the covenant is its prerequisite. Walk away from your country. Walk away from everything associated with Babylon, which is the satanic influence of the human institutions of religion and politics and militarism. God says, walk away from that. That's a prerequisite. That's the opposable thumb of the five fingers. And then, of course, there are five benefits of the covenant, with the first of those being the doorway to life, Passover, the ability to live forever. And we will consider each of these as Shattering Myths continues and as we continue through Yahweh's presentation of his Torah, of his teaching, of his plan, of his way, of his testimony. We'll be back. As a result of your name, Yahweh, you will choose to genuinely and completely forgive my sin, which is great. Why? Because his name represents the existence of the covenant, of him being our Heavenly Father, reaching out and down to us with an open hand to lift the sons and daughters of his covenant family up. Hence, whatever individual respects and reveres Yahweh, he will teach and guide him in a way that he should choose. We have free will. Our Heavenly Father provides guidance, Yahweh, in his Torah. And if you come to respect Yahweh, then that guidance is available to you. If you don't respect Yahweh, if you view Yahweh the way Paul's does, as pornographic, mean-spirited, the source of sexual perversion, one who enslaves, if you view him that way, then you're not going to respect him or revere him, and he's not going to guide you. His guidance is available to those respected. You know, a father who isn't respected by a son or daughter doesn't have guidance that's going to be useful. And as a matter of fact, if a father doesn't earn one's respect, then you ought not consider their guidance. Yahweh earns our respect. And so his guidance is worthy. And he provides the way that we should choose, recognizing it's still our choice. His soul, in the most favorable, pleasing, and festive circumstances, will dwell and endure, and his descendants will inherit the realm. So for those of us who respect Yahweh, revere Yahweh, choose to listen to what he has to say in his enduring witness and restoring testimony, and who have come to view his testimony, his promises regarding his covenant, to be reliable, and we've responded to it as a result of who he is and the promises that he's provided, our soul will endure in the most pleasing of circumstances. And we talked about the benefits of the covenant. We began to talk about them before the last break. And there is the doorway to life, which is provided by Passover. And that's one of the benefits of the covenant, eternal life. But we also talked about matzah, which is that threshold that removes political and religious sin from us. Yahushua was really clear when he was talking to his disciples. And he told them, listen, yeast that is spoken of in matzah is represented by and is provided by the Pharisees, which are conservative fundamentalist religious types, and the scribes, which are liberal political types. That's where it comes from. That's the source of the fungus of sin that I'm resolving. And so we are made perfect in God's eyes through matzah. That's one of the benefits. The next benefit is that we're adopted into his family. This is firstborn children, Bakurim. And following Bakurim and being adopted into Yahweh's family, then we are enriched with his teaching, this Yara that he's providing. And we're empowered by his spirit tenfold. These are all benefits of participating in the covenant. There are five benefits. There's five conditions. Five hands in Yahweh's name. All provided there, with the covenant itself being represented in his name and his relationship to the covenant also available in that name, with the hand of the Father reaching down and out to lift us up. And those who reach for his hand, who accept what he has provided in terms of teaching and guidance along the way, we find ourselves in the most favorable, pleasing, and festive of circumstances in his family, dwelling and enduring as his descendants forever, inheriting all that Yah has to give. A very close and intimate fellowship with Yahweh is certain for those who respect and revere him, and his family-oriented covenant relationship he makes known to them. Mizmor Song, Psalm 25, 7 through 14. That's what the covenant is. It's a close, intimate fellowship with Yahweh. He's Father, we are sons and daughters. It isn't by faith, no, it is certain. That's why you can trust and rely upon him. That's why he provides the teaching, the guidance, the direction. Because these things known, these things understood, they become trustworthy and reliable. Once you come to respect Yahweh and trust what he has to say, then those of us who choose to love him find that he makes everything we need to know about his Bereth, covenant relationship, his family relationship, known to us. I want to move forward to the 37th Psalm. Speaking of good, here's another insight. It reads, "And then I encourage you to consider acting upon and actively engaging in Ashah, that which is good, beneficial, moral, agreeable, generous, and pleasing, Tob. And as a result, live forever." Yahweh said that he's Tob. Yahweh said that his Torah was Tob. He said that his testimony is Tob. He said that his plan and path, his way, were Tob. And so when you engage in and act upon Yahweh, his Torah, his covenant, his testimony, then you are engaging in and participating with that which is good, beneficial, moral, agreeable, generous and pleasing to hope. And as a result, we live forever. Psalm 37:27. A bit more comprehensive illustration regarding the enduring merits of Yahweh's Torah is advanced in the 40th Psalm. And once again, these lyrics were scribed by a man whose name means beloved, Dod. If you want God to view you similarly, as he views Dod, as righteous and loving and beloved, here's some very good advice. At that time, I shared, behold, I am coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and scribed on my behalf regarding the work you have done and will do to accept me, God. I genuinely want and willingly accept this. Your Torah, your instruction and teaching, your guidance and direction is within the midst of my inner nature. I have proclaimed the good news of vindication fairly and accurately, responsibly, honestly, and correctly. In the great assembly and esteemed community, behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh. Now, there's more to this, and we will get to more, but let's just pause and think about what is being said. Dod says he's coming to heaven. David's going through the doorway to heaven of Pesach, cross that threshold that makes him perfect in God's eyes, no matter how many flaws he had, and entering Yahweh's family as his son. Why? Because he's bringing the written scroll that was dictated and scribed on his behalf, on your behalf, on my behalf, regarding the work that he has done and will do to accept us. And he is saying, I accept this. This is God's way, God's plan, God's revelation of himself in our world. There's only one document that is constantly presented as a written scroll, dictated on our behalf. That's the Torah. In fact, the written scroll of the Torah is specifically by God said to be always associated with the Ark of the Covenant and its mercy seat, the Ark of this family-oriented relationship, the vessel that enables us to receive Yahweh's mercy and to be adopted into his family. And so Dod is telling God what God most wants to hear. I've accepted your Torah. I've made your Torah part of the very fabric of my life. I've integrated it into my life. So it is the document that I am now responding to, that I am willingly accepting, because it enables me to become a member of our Heavenly Father's family, to come to him, to live in his presence for all eternity. It's what Dod is saying that he wants. It is what he has accepted. It's all that he had to work with. You see, Dod is engaged in the covenant, part of Yahweh's family, in heaven at this very moment, because even though he was flawed, he came to know Yahweh and acted upon his testimony based exclusively on the Torah. And it is the same for us today. That is how we engage with Yahweh. It's how we come to know him. Everything that needs to be known about God for us to come to revere and respect him, everything that needs to be known about how to participate in the covenant and become part of his family, engage in a relationship with him, everything that needs to be known about the way that we walk from our world to his is provided in one document, and only one document, the Torah. Have you, like Dod, grasped hold of it, accepted it, integrated it within the very fabric of your life? Have you told Yahweh, I accept? That's what Dod is doing. He even went one step further. He said that as a result of coming to know Yahweh and respecting him, by through the Torah's presentation, and by coming to embrace the terms and conditions of this covenant and walking to Yahweh along the way that he has provided, Dode is saying that I've responded and proclaimed the good news of vindication accurately, responsibly, honestly, correctly to everyone who will listen. It is what we all do. Once you become a member of Yahweh's family, you don't covet exclusivity. You don't say, boy, I've got more undivided attention of God. I inherit a larger percentage of what he has to give if I'm the last one in the door. You know, kind of the idea that so many conservative Americans have against immigration. You know, I don't want to share with any of you. This is my country. You can't have it. The exact opposite is the response of all of us who participate in his covenant. We want everyone to know. The more, the merrier. God's wealth is infinite. His power is infinite. The more that join his family, the more exciting eternity is going to be. And so we all, the moment we come to know the truth about him and how to participate in this covenant, want to share it with others. We want others to join us. We'll be back. At that time I shared, behold, I'm coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and scribed on my behalf. Regarding the work you have done and will do to accept me, God, I genuinely want and willingly accept this, your Torah, your instruction and teaching, your guidance and direction. It's in the midst of my inner nature. I have proclaimed the good news of vindication fairly and accurately in the great assembly and the esteemed community. Behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh. You yourself know, you respect and acknowledge, that I have not hidden nor concealed your means to achieve righteousness through vindication in the midst of my heart. I have spoken about your trustworthiness and reliable nature and your salvation, Yahusha. I have not hidden nor concealed your mercy or your integrity, your honesty and steadfast reliability on behalf of the esteemed community and great assembly. Yahweh, you will not withhold your love and mercy from me, your unfailing devotion, your love and unearned favor, your chesed. Moreover, your integrity, your honesty, and trustworthiness continually protect me from harm, and they spare my life. For indeed, you are surrounding me, providing me a covering, God. For the entire duration of time, evil and wrongdoing will not be counted against me, and I will not be able, accordingly, to see them, though they are numerous, more numerous than the hairs on my head. So my heart is restored, accepting and delighting with Yahweh, saving me. Yahweh is prepared and ready, even excited about helping and supporting me, influencing and assisting me, Ezra. This is Mizmor, the Hebrew word for song, Psalm 48 through 14. Powerful, isn't it? It has Yahweh's written testimony being his Torah, the very thing that Dode is studying and celebrating, embracing, integrating into the very fabric of his nature. And he realizes that having studied it, that Yahweh becomes known. He, through studying the Torah, observing the Torah, came to respect and acknowledge God. And he then shared what God had shared with him by sharing the Torah, which is what we're doing here on this program. And he realizes that rather than being mean-spirited in a document which cannot save, that Yahweh's Torah is the source of mercy. It is the means that Yahweh expresses his love, an unfailing devotion, and provides unearned favor to all of us. Dode is saying that although my faults may be more numerous than the hairs on my head, it does not matter because They are now unknown to me. They're unknown to God, all because I've embraced and accepted and integrated Yahweh's Torah into my life. That's what is protecting Dode from harm. It's why he is restored. It's why he is so happy. It is why he is excited about the many ways that Yahweh is influencing and assisting him. It is the same for all of Yahweh's children. It is the same for all of us who embrace his covenant. All of us who have come to know him through his Torah. We all feel exactly the same way. We're excited about the many ways that Yahweh supports us and helps us, influences us, assists us, teaches us, lifts us up, protecting us. It's a marvelous relationship with a God who is loving and merciful, with a God who wants to teach us, to guide us, so that we will not only get the most out of our brief mortal existence, but along the way, learn what we need to know so that we come of our own volition to answer his invitations and accept his conditions for not only participating in his family, but of accepting the way which provides the path from our world to his. All of this comes by way of the Torah. Dode, David, knew it and has benefited from it. I know it and have benefited from it. And we're sharing it now with you because we want you too to know it and benefit from what God had to say.